we discuss mediumship, energy work, healing, paranormal investigations, and so much more. Find out more at transcendwithdebbie.com. Your host, Debbie Romero, is a globally recognized evidential psychic medium, paranormal investigator, energy worker, and empowerment teacher. Her unique blend of psychic abilities and healing energy has set her apart spiritually, gathering her international acclaim. With a profound connection to the spiritual realm, she has dedicated her life to helping others explore the mysteries of the unseen world. Now, your host of Transcend with Debbie, Debbie Romero.
Ah, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I am honored today to have Mr. Paul Jacobs join me on Transcend with Debbie. Thank you, Paul, for being here.
My pleasure, Debbie.
Yeah, it's an honor. Today, first and foremost, we have a pioneer in the house, everyone, Mr. Paul Jacobs. I've had the honor and privilege to study with many years ago. I would say six years ago under Lillian, and I've taken your mentorship program, the color course, and we really do, I have this admiration and respect for the work that you do for spirit, and so it's a privilege and an honor to have you here today as a guest for the community. If you don't mind, can you introduce yourself to those that are listening in to today?
Certainly. I'm Paul. I call myself a spiritual medium, not psychic medium. I do that for a particular reason. I work psychically, but I wish and I believe that we should separate the two, psychic and medium. They're part of each other, but the two different levels of working, and which I like to get across in my teaching. My journey began in 1984 when I entered a spiritualist church for the first time. And the medium taking the service was a great aunt of mine, who I hadn't seen since I was a boy. And a couple of months later, she asked me to go with her to visit another church, and I did. And there was the great Gordon Higginson, was the finest medium of the day, and she introduced me to him. And we built a friendship, and I then came under his guidance in the development of my mediumship. But even at that stage, I wasn't trying to be a medium. I just wanted to do a journey of discovery and enjoy the journey. And I think this is one of the difficulties many people cause themselves, because from day one, they're deciding what that journey want to be and what they're going to become and what they're going to do with it, instead of doing the journey and then allow the power to develop and unfold the different gifts and in which direction they will go and where they will become. Even though it's become my full-time work, I've done television, written books, traveled all over the world, I never set out with that intent. Those opportunities just presented themselves. Then I had to just then see the opportunities and then decide that was the way I was going to go.
I agree.
Rather than forcing it,
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And I think the self-discovery is so important. And I feel, as Jesse says, he could relate to that. Sitting in spirit and the power as a spiritualist medium, I love that. For many of us, we don't know the future of what it holds for us. And as we develop as individuals for self, it's important to understand how the energies are working within one's self. And I know that you talk about that and how you had to sit for a year before even delivering the message and being in the power.
That's correct. And this is because we live in a world today where we want everything instant. We want everything yesterday. And too many people are putting the cart before the horse. What we need to do, first of all, we need to do this self-awareness. And through doing that self-awareness, knowing our own power. Our own power is created by that what we've lived and expressed. So, if we look, there's many things mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically that affect us in life. And those negative effects weakens our power. So we need to know those weaknesses. We also need to know our strengths, so that empowers us to be able to let go of certain negativities, change certain negativities. And that's all about developing and strengthening your power. But then the ingredient we've got to add on top of that, we've got to spiritualize that psychic faculty. So I'm not going all religious on this, okay?
It's okay.
But what we've got to realize is that there's that divine power, that divine essence, that droplet of God within each of us. And we've got to be able to activate that droplet and the power that comes with it, but have a relationship with it. And I actually say, make God your best friend. Make that power your best friend. Not just in your mediumship, but in your everyday life. Have a relationship with it. Then if you've got that relationship with that power in your own everyday life, one, it'll help you within your own life. You don't need to go running to different mediums. And then secondly, that's what will spiritualize your mediumistic ability. And then that will then give you that power that will allow your mediumship to unfold in a far stronger way.
I agree. And I love how you break it down in that mannerism of where understanding thyself of how our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings, what's in our auric field, what's in our energy field, and how is it speaking to us is important, so that we are in that development stage of being able to be in one's self-understanding. I think it takes time. And I feel like I'm still in that, Paul. It doesn't end.
So am I. The journey never ends. It never stops this self-awareness. But if you look at it, Debbie, you know, all the spirit world has got to use is us, the makeup of us, yeah? So if you don't understand your own emotions, how are you going to understand the emotions of a client on a psychic level, let alone understand the emotions of a spirit communicator on a mediumistic level? Or if you've got barriers on your emotions because of past experiences, or you don't like people to see them, then you put in a block to the spirit world work. And the same with the mental level. You know, if you've got a mind that is very analytical, then when you start working with your faculty, different psychic and mediumistic faculties, then you'll be, as you receive the communication on both levels, you'll be analysing, dissecting and destroying before you even open your mouth. And then we've got people who've got minds like a butterfly with no focus and discipline, so their communication will have no discipline and will be all over the place, flitting here, there and everywhere. So this is why this self-development on our mental, emotional, spiritual and physical self is the foundation to build our mediumship upon.
And the letting go and bringing in that light of God, of spirit within oneself, is just a light of brightness that spirit can, because we are light, but spirit will see that. They'll be able to work with our experiences as individuals because they know, hey, she's going to understand, or he is going to understand my story based on the colors that are being shown to the world of spirit. How we blend with that. Could you imagine how many stories we missed from spirit because we had those blocks that we didn't work through as they're trying to talk to us to get like, hey, girl, pay attention. I'm trying to tell you something, you know?
Yeah. Well, actually, that takes us to the actual next stage. And unfortunately, over the last, I would say, 30 years, this has come quite common where teachers and mediums themselves are deciding what you've got to give as information, even deciding what order, how insulting to the spirit world, but also how limiting to the spirit world. So, you know, we've got to surrender, and have no limitations of how we receive the information or what we receive. And that will that will stop us missing all those stories, that wonderful stories that you were on about, you know.
Oh my gosh, 100%. I'm in agreement there. It is, let's not limit spirit from saying what they want to say or do what they want to do. It's really honoring the energies of what needs to be brought forward within that moment. As we come together, even now in this conversation, the energies are flowing. Those that are in here, you have a lot of hellos. Melinda's saying, I love that. Great advice. Joanne is saying, good evening. Debbie and Paul. Jennifer is saying, yes, very true. So you have quite a bit of different people understanding. Kevin from Canada is in here saying, hugs to you, Paul and I.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, so this is amazing. Valerie's saying, amazing. You know what I find the beauty within the mediumship, and I want to bring it back to this for a second here, is the power of going back to the one individual who is sitting in the power, where everyone is holding space for that one specific individual to receive the message and the energies and the way spirit wants to flow, that's safe to you, Paul. And we're in that circle and everyone is sending you the energy. How does that feel for you when you first started and you were building up your own power to link up? What was happening to you as an individual when you were getting ready to work with spirit?
Well, really, as you mentioned earlier, I spent 12 months sitting to just develop and strengthen my own power. Mm-hmm. And Gordon Higginson taught me, even though you can take advantage of the power of a room and the individuals sitting with you or in your audience, your own power has got to be strong enough to stand in your own right and your own to be able to manage. So Gordon wouldn't have an excuse when people had a bad demonstration and turn around and say, oh, well, the power and the energy from the room and the cities wasn't very good. And he'd say, excuse, your own power should be strong enough to stand in your own right with the spirit world.
I agree. I agree with that. It's building our energies, our physical well-being, our mental, emotional. It's building our energy to understand oneself. I agree with you. That journey is not an easy journey.
That's right. And if you think about it, if you cannot sit on your own within your own power, then lifting your consciousness and your power to blend with the spirit world, not a spirit person, and stay in that state for an hour, then there's no way you'll be able to do a whole demonstration.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
And this is where people put the lack of work into their development.
Yeah. People talk about power, and I love the words you say. You can use the energies of those that are around you, but if you can utilize your own, that's a great way to bring awareness to those who are trying to develop the understanding of oneself. And yes, there are people there to hold the link, to hold the energy, to connect. That's beautiful. And that's the beauty of community. And that's why the community is so important, because they are bringing that Wi-Fi, that belief, that hope into the energies. But if you can believe in oneself, that is powerful enough right there.
Yeah, but what you've also got to look at, and this also is, for me, the magic ingredient. It's what
tell
I do.
Me,
my,
tell
what
me.
This is what I do in my own mediumship, and it's what I teach students to do. Because if you look at our soul, the soul is the vehicle of the higher mind, the higher consciousness, which we use to communicate with the spirit world, the emotion, and that divine power of the spirit. So those three ingredients in our soul. So when that communicator comes from the spirit world, instead of trying to keep working in this mind in our head, looking and searching for information, if we can blend with the communicator, their soul and our soul as one,
yes,
then you're using your power and the communicator's power.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And you've got that blending mind to mind and emotion. And when mm-hmm. you can do that, mm-hmm. you can't put a foot wrong. You don't have
that's
to interpret
right.
anything. You mm-hmm. go into inspirational flow. You just
yes.
know what you've got to say. You actually mm-hmm. become that communicator within mm-hmm. you, even
oh,
though
yes.
they're not within you. If you want, if there's time at the end, I can give a little example of that. You know,
yeah, we will. And I agree with you. I took your blend and meld course many years ago. And when we're blending and melding with spirit and letting them come close and really allowing them, you know, it's for me, it's surrendering to the spirit world. And I love this song that comes in, "I give myself away to be used, to be a service." And so many people don't know this about me, but I am a service to the spirit world. And when I say this, it is, I give myself away so that I could be used for them, and really letting the blend come in that way and letting the energies blend through me. When you have that connection, there's no going back. It's that's you're right. In it.
That's right. And that's the trouble with experienced students, and but also particularly in the beginning, people are trying too hard, focusing on this third eye or this television screen. Yes. And all they do is cause themselves a block, a headache, or trigger off their own imagination. And for my newer students, I say to them, to help them understand, I say, pretend you've got two brains, okay? Mm-hmm. All right? So you've got one here, which the information rests upon, and you use to relay, but then you've got a brain in your stomach that communicates with the spirit world, with the higher mind from your soul, and not in words, but through your feelings. And the more you can do that, then the better you will get that blending. But also, with what you just said, I have a little mantra I use before I begin my work. I always say, I surrender, I trust, bring me whatever you want to bring in whatever way I can receive it. And, some experienced mediums who I train, that when they were starting to work alongside of me, I gave them a night off from working. And they said, "Paul, can't we come in and watch you?" And I said, "No, you've seen me work many times." And we find it interesting how you begin the contact. I said, "I haven't a clue what you're on about." They said, "Well, with you, you never know what you're going to begin with." I said, "Well, you're not going to know, because I don't know. I've got no set formula, and I watch mediums work, and I know what they're going to give as evidence every time and what time, because they've got a set pattern and a set formula. We've got to break that."
Yes.
But we'll only break it if we surrender and we trust. And like you said earlier, Debbie, then that will have our minds open then to more varied types of evidence, communication, and exchange, rather than constantly a grandmother in the kitchen with an apron cooking, or an uncle who liked nature who had trouble breathing, you know.
Right.
I did a demonstration on Monday evening, and this contact was going lovely with this lady's mother. And then at the end, I said, "Oh, your mother wants to thank you for the scratch card you gave her." And she's scratching the numbers off. And in the wreath, the daughter had placed a scratch card for her mother.
Oh.
I mean, so if my mind was controlling and limiting what I've got to have and how I've got to receive it, I would have never been able to receive that piece of information.
Right. You know, I think for me, when I go into these places where there is a limit on spirit, my heart shrinks just a bit. We can't do this, we can't do that, and there's rules, then my heart just kind of, well, then why am I here? If I can't speak for spirit and bring forward what they're wanting, it's limiting that frequency.
I agree with you. But the only thing is, Debbie, like with the public demonstration, we've just got to be a little bit careful what we say publicly.
Yes. I agree.
You can say a little bit more on a private one-to-one situation.
Yes.
So in a public, as long as you take responsibility and just careful with what we do say, whether the recipient would be happy for our whole audience to hear what's being said, then you have to take that little bit of care. You know?
I agree. And that's where the discernment and mindfulness of our delivery. And that is a lot where this is something I want to work with the students that I have, is how to deliver the harder messages, how to deliver the messages that, you know, one is still grieving through, you know, where we don't go in such great detail, but just enough to say, yes, that is my son or my daughter or my loved one. And they did experience that because, you know, in this work, Paul, the traumatic passings or the events that we hold space for, it's grief. And we're also re-triggering that memory, that muscle of oh, I went through that. And so there's that delicate state of dance and delivering that information. It's so potent, and how you are that person to hold space for the spirit and for the recipient. How do you manage that for doing this for so many years with grace? What do you do to move through that?
It's basically a lot of what we do, teach, and in our own training, it boils down to experience at the end of the day. You know, there's things maybe I did or said, or had things affect me in my mediumship, which I wouldn't do now, but it was because of lack of experience before, you know. So, you know, I have to respect, you know, it's like, say, you know, so if I'm going to a parent with a son who's committed suicide, I've heard mediums go through all the vivid details.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't dream of doing that, you know.
Yeah.
Because that communicator, one, got to relive them, and two, does the mother and father want to hear all the precise details? They already know that, you know.
I agree. So
this is where you've got to be responsible, and when you're speaking this, but you've got to remember it's their loved one. You've got to treat the communicator with respect, and also the recipient, and also through your own awareness, you should be able to know the sense of grief that's still there with the recipient.
I agree.
You know, even from the spirit world, I can often tell that it's their first time in communicating.
Yes.
So these are all the little marks that you'll get used to in your mediumship that will help you to, you know, deal with this, you know. And it's the same with the emotion. I used to work for an organization in Germany and Italy who, for parents who'd lost children, and you'd have the, you know, in Italy you'd have the grandmother there, the grandfather there, the mother there, the father there, and the brothers and sisters all in the city. And you know, the emotion is unbelievable, that they're actually letting the tears fall, and it's got to affect you, but I've got to be strong enough is not to close my emotion down, but not to allow it to affect me in a negative way that I can't continue with the communication that I'm giving to that family. You know?
I agree. And Melinda says, I believe spirit gives you enough to connect without making them relive over and over again, and that way they passed. I agree.
That's true, but some people, unfortunately, aren't responsible enough, and they try to milk some of those things for more than they should and what they're worth.
Yes, and that is when their ego gets in the way and they want to continue it. So when you know there's tears and there's emotions, there's a responsibility and an integrity in the reading to pull back, give the energy enough time to move.
If my recipient's in tears, I always just pause and I'll say, do you wish me to continue or not?
Yes.
Their permission to communicate, you know. So that's the way what I do. And if the recipient doesn't want me to carry on with the communication, then I respect that and I stop.
I agree. And this is also the responsibility of us individuals as being that link between our world and the world of spirit, to be able to have that muscle to witness the energies within the recipient and the energies of spirit, to do the dance between you and the family, because you had a family in front of you. Thank you for sharing that. For many of us here, obviously you have been a pioneer. You've been doing this work for many, many years. How would you like the babies, the new upcoming mediums, what would you like to see be taught to the new age that are stepping in? What would you like to see for us?
Well, first of all, I would like to ask them to ask themselves a question. Why do I want to be a medium?
Yes.
Okay? So if they say, because I want to help people, I want to be of service, well, that's not a good enough answer. There's many other ways you can help people and be of service. Okay.
Yes.
So
thank you.
I don't know whether I should give you the answer or let them discover it for themselves.
I think that's a good one. That's a, yeah, that's a great one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because there's got to be a greater reason or motive for why you want to be a medium. But, yeah, do the journey of it, yes, if you're interested in the subject, okay. But let the path unfold, okay. But really, what I would like, the new ones just starting out, okay, you've got to remember, and this holds people back more than anything else, when you first get new ones trying to experience things in exercises, they don't say anything because they expect to hit them in the face and knock them over straight away. And they're scared of being wrong, or they sit there, they've received something questioning, is it me? Is it my own mind? Is it psychic? Is it the spirit world? Stop all that.
Yes.
Just express it. And it doesn't matter if it's psychic, if it's your own mind, whether it's your imagination, because until we express, if it is the spirit world, then that communication cannot open up. And they've got to stop being scared of being wrong.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm still wrong after 40 years. So if I'm still wrong after 40 years, then
maybe
it's going to be as well. But scared of being wrong holds you back more than anything else. And, you know, would you go to learn any other subject and expect to get 10 out of 10 first try? No. Mm-mm. So why should this subject be any different? You know,
right.
You've got to just take it step at a time. And one of the things that helped me when I first started was that I wasn't intent and forced myself, I want to be a medium, I've got to be a medium.
Right.
I'd have been quite happy to find out I wasn't a medium. You know? But the trouble is, when a lot of people come into it today, they've come with this intent, I've got to be a medium, I want to be a medium, I've got to be. It stops it happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I first started, and the first times I had to experience anything in a classroom, I wasn't scared of expressing, because I wasn't scared of being wrong. And I was actually quite shocked, because I did that, it worked, and I was quite shocked I was right. I'd have been less shocked if I'd have been wrong, you know.
Right.
So not being scared of being wrong helped me. Not wanting to be this forceful intent, I've got to be a medium, helped me. And that's what I keep saying. Do that development of why you want to be a medium. Do the self-awareness. Work on your own emotional, mental, spiritual and physical effects of life in your state. Be able to stay in that power with the spirit world, not a spirit person. And develop that strength and hold with the power. And once you can do that, then you'll find then if you can stay with that within your soul and that higher mind, then you'll find that your mediumship will flourish.
Yes, I agree. And as you say that, those are beautiful examples of one of us, any of us who are sitting with or pausing with, why are we doing this work? Now I'm going to ask you another question. For those like myself who are already doing the work, who have learned, what would you like to see different with us as are a service and are in there and doing the work? What do you see with us mediums that are already in there, not going for teachings or they are teaching? What would you like to see happen for those that are active mediums?
Okay. I often take courses and groups at the Arthur Finley College, which are I'm often giving the advance to all the professional working mediums. And I don't know how to put this in a nice way. I tell my students in classroom, again, you still have a problem where you play safe. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. You don't move to the next stage. So I think you may have heard it in a group with me. So a student's working and they've got this grandfather, and there's a connection to a body of water. So, and I said, well, did you see the body of water? Yes. I said, well, did you see the sea? Did you see a river? Do you see a pond? What did you see? And they said, sea. I said, well, then say it was the sea.
Yes.
If it's a river or a pond, the spirit world aren't going to show you the sea. So by not making that next statement, keeps your mediumship at the quality of the evidence of the communication lower. Yeah, because if you just say, what did I say? A body of water. Yeah. Well, you'll get everybody putting their hand up who knows a river, a pond, a sea, a lake, whatever.
But right.
If you say the sea or the pond, whichever it is you saw, then it cuts the down the amount of people who can take the content. Yeah?
Yes.
And the other thing is, very much, is you hear quite often, I do it occasionally myself, not very often, but I catch myself doing it, when we say, oh, there's a connection to this, or there's a reference to that. If you tell the recipient what the connection is and what the reference is, then that moves the quality of your mediumship and evidence again onto another level. But again, even working mediums don't do it, are scared to do it, because again, playing safe, scared of a no, scared of being wrong.
Yes. So this goes back to your course that you have offered in the past, which was unfolding the evidence, unfolding it and giving the detail of that and where it's connected to, who wore that, who bought it, where did it come from? And, you know, really sitting with that one piece and building the story on it.
That's right. You see, but we have to do that. You see, people have this clairvoyant image of a scene or an object that'll give us a, which can give us a practical evidence, but there's a whole story there.
Yeah.
But then what you've got to do, see, with this clairvoyant, once it registers onto your conscious mind, too many mediums stay in their head with it.
Yeah.
So when a clairvoyant pictures that can give me this extra practical evidence and a story, I look at the simplicity and the obvious in the picture when it registers onto my mind. Then I bring that picture back into my soul and feel and want to know the story that that picture is telling us. Yeah, I can remember not long ago, I thought I gave a fantastic evidential story from one picture to somebody in the audience at the college, and I was really chuffed with it. And the lady came and spoke to me afterwards, and she came to confirm the story, but she told me what I'd not mentioned in the story. I thought, God, Paul, you missed all that. Yeah. And I've always said the spirit world will give us as little as possible to give us as much as possible.
Yes.
But we waste what they give us.
Mm-hmm.
I waste it. We waste it. Yeah. You know, sometimes you can do a whole story on one or two pictures. Yeah.
Right. But
what we've got to remember is you've got to use your clairsentience and your clairvoyance in conjunction with each other to be able to unfold those information. Then what we've also got to look at, you know, students come and I say, what you're looking for from the class this week? We want to get stronger, more practical evidence. And I say, that's good, but you've also got to give emotional evidence as well.
Yes.
Because if we just give practical evidence, which we do need to give some, and the communicator only comes across as information and not a real person. So if I've given practical information first, then I bring the emotion aspect in next. If I start off with the emotional information first, then I add the practical through the clairvoyance. So we've got to have both aspects in a contact for an individual, because we don't know what that individual needs. Some recipients need a more emotional contact, others need a more practical. So if we have both aspects in the contact, then we've got a more chance of fulfilling the job for that spirit communicator and for the recipient. And you've got to realize sometimes the emotional evidence can do a better job than the practical evidence. So if you can contain both, that's important. If I can just share this one little story.
Yes, please.
Okay. I was in the French part of Switzerland, and there's about 200 people there. And there's this young girl, she only looked about 17, 18, on the front row. And I just knew she was going to have a contact. I don't know why, who, or what. Anyway, I did the whole demonstration, and I was just coming to the end, and I thought, oh, there's a young girl. Who is it that wants to speak to her? And I was aware of her father. And I said to her, you've listened to the demonstration this evening and the information that's been given. You're not going to receive anything like that from me this evening. I just want to let you know your father's here. He walked through the front door and he never returned. And it's not your fault. I think she broke down in tears. The whole place was in tears. That was more important than birthdays or dates or telephone numbers or these certain practical things. That's what the girl needed to hear. That's what the spirit world, intelligence of the spirit world knew she needed to hear. So that's why we've got to be open and surrender to what the spirit world wants to bring in, the type of evidence. But if we can be open to both types, include both types,
right,
we've got a greater chance of fulfilling the need of the recipient and the need of the communicator.
I agree. I think when the emotion is brought forward and the healing can move, because there's a healing aspect that you're bringing forward with that, as the tears flooded with this woman that you're speaking of, I could feel the emotions just as you share the story, right? And the release that she was given, that opportunity to express the feelings that she held on to. There's also that healing medium, spiritualist medium that's within you that also holds that power of energy to move one's individual's energy.
That's right. It's not, healing's not just about the laying of hands. The communication mediumship is also a form of healing.
Right.
And many people, it's emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically, they need healing on all levels. And their grief or their loss or their loneliness or their effects of events in their life, of course, this damage and brought an imbalance to them. And through that communication, we can help them heal.
Yes. In the spirit world, as you sit with spirit, is there anything that spirit like to see different within the community here, within our world? What does spirit want from us?
Basically, it's simply, really, I'm going to go religious and go to the principles of spiritualism of the SNU.
It's okay.
Spiritualist National Union. If we look at our first two principles, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. So if we can truly live to that divine power, our Father God that's within us, our giver and creator of eternal life, and to live to the highest that power is in all that we are and do, and with all those that we meet, whether that's our brothers and sisters in our association, and doesn't matter who they are, whether we know them very well or not, with our planet and with our animal kingdom, to live and treat each other into the highest that we can of that divine power of the spirit. Then we will find harmony and balance and peace upon earth. But the thing is, many of us haven't found that harmony and balance within ourselves. So we need to find that harmony and balance within ourselves, working upon our own, finding that peace within ourselves. Then in turn, we can play our part in bringing peace within our planet, our animal kingdom, and with the human race.
Right. I love that. I know for me, Paul, I started this journey of self-discovery 20 plus years ago. And there's always a reason we take the journey within, whether it's grief or trying to understand oneself. And some want to be mediums or want to do more, be a service. For me, it was always self-healing. And so it's progression into being, to create changes of transformation to always be better than what we were when we first started. For me. And so then life happens and we're in the real life. And then there's that hiccup of like, okay, let's revisit this. Let's regroup. And that's okay. That the pauses are okay too. Right. And I feel like, I love that you say that because we all strive for peace and harmony.
That's right.
And that was the reason for healing, is to find inner peace.
Yeah. And like for people like yourself who are working mediums, professional mediums, what you've got to remember Also, we do our best, but we can't be everything to everybody.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Say that one more time. Okay. Yes, Paul.
All right. We've also got to remember we're human beings as well. So yes. We have things that knock us out of balance, even though we've done all this, what we've spoken about. We'll have our negative moments too.
Yes.
Don't last long. A couple of hours sleep or a night's sleep and I'm back again. But right. All of our moments of uncertainty, doubt, life events affecting us, you know. But if you develop that strength of that power of the spirit world, it'll only be a small blip and you'll come through. Yeah?
Yes.
But again, we've got to say is to all of us who are on this journey, as long as me, as long as yourself and many others, is that keeping that right motive and intent. I can remember I was driving to a church to do a Sunday service, and I was stuck in a traffic jam, and I was talking to the spirit world, and I said, you know, the last few demonstrations haven't been as good as they should have been. You're going to have to pull your socks up and do a better job. And I heard this voice say to me, why are you doing this? What was your reason, intent in the first place? Mm-hmm. And I had to acknowledge I'd lost the real reason why I was doing it. Ooh. I was going out to demonstrate, to prove how good Paul Jacobs could be, not the real reason. So I accepted and acknowledged that, and I went to that church, and that evening of the demonstration, every contact was for somebody whose funeral had only taken place that week, or the funeral hadn't even taken place, because I'd gone back to the motive and intent, not about the wonderful Paul Jacobs, one of the best.
Yeah.
How good I am. So this is why we've got to do that self-awareness.
Yeah.
Continuous. We've got to be able to constantly be reviewing, re-looking at ourselves, to making sure we're staying on that right path of motive and intent of what we're about.
I love that. And I just come out of a holiday and sat with spirit, and you know, we let the energies move because we've held space for so much energy. And so it's just recharging and taking care of oneself. And it's important. That's the self-care that's necessary, not only for everyone and everything that we do. We're all energy, whether you're a medium or a healer or just going to work and being a father or mother, there's energy in living. And how we live, it's taking the break for oneself. And that's where we go within. What do I need today? What am I avoiding today? What's coming to the surface? What's my body saying to me? Girl, bring it back, you know? So I love that you're saying this. And this is just a gentle reminder, self-care, guys. And it's and sometimes when we're in the flow, we forget. Spirit's going to knock you down and make you deal with it if you don't deal with it. So it's just what it is. I'm going to open it up for questions, Paul. This has been a delight. I really love what you're saying here. I love how, you know, you're giving information on how to sit with oneself, how to let go, how to trust, how to surrender, let the story unfold. This is great stuff. And I know for me as a medium in my days, and, you know, what does that look like to surrender? What does that mean to trust? And it's just, be wrong. It's okay. Let spirit work through you. Let the energies go. I love how natural this is for all of us to sit in and listen to. So I'm going to go to the comments. If anybody has any comments or questions for Paul, please do so. Lisa Krista says, mediums are just people like everyone else. There's ups and downs. That's right. Yeah. Rachel says, I don't know what my lesson is from my rough time. Neither do I, girl. No, I'm just kidding. We all, it'll click. Trust me. Spirit will let you know. Let's see here. Can you see the comments, Paul?
Yeah, yes, I can.
Okay, great. So it doesn't look like anyone's coming in with comments here. Yeah. So, did you see one?
Yeah, I just mentioned the last one. I don't know what my lessons for my rough time. Okay, so first of all, we've got to realize, you know, everything that happens in our life, good or not so good, is not deliberately put there on our path, okay? Because we've got to, even though I know some will disagree with me, we've got to look at free will and destiny, you know?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So free will belongs to the physical, destiny belongs to the spirit, yeah? Okay? Mm-hmm. So from our free will, yes, we have negative things happen to us in our life from either decisions, actions, and things we've manifested, that's caused us difficulties, or those around us have done, that's caused on a knock-on effect to us. There are certain things that will happen and that is destined to happen to you because it's part of you fulfilling the destiny of your spirit. But I believe through those difficult situations or negative aspects that we have to go through, that we, if we can, there should always be, we mentioned this early, something positive that can come from them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what they're saying? Every cloud has a silver lining.
Mm-hmm, they sure
do. If we can allow that negative experience stop us turning negative and resentful or resentment or whatever, and we can look at it in a positive and look at our own soul, and this is where the self-awareness have got to do, is spend time with that in your own soul to see how we can grow spiritually from it and how we can enhance and move forward in a different way with our life for the better. Gordon Higginson always taught that any change that comes in our life, whether it's what we want or we don't want, doesn't matter if it's negative or positive, something better can always come from that experience that's brought that change.
I agree. 100% agree with that.
Any other great comments? Answer.
Yes, okay. Aiden has a question here. Aiden, I love Aiden. With going deeper with evidence, should it be from a place of letting it flow or looking with awareness and looking for more?
You don't go looking for it in your mind, in your head, okay? So if I've got a piece, say I'm working with a clairvoyant picture that's giving me a factual piece of evidence. The secret key is, as you're saying that, relaying that evidence from that clairvoyant image with your conscious mind, in your soul, with your higher mind, through your feelings, let me know more. Is there anything else? Not searching for something different, just your soul, your higher mind, and using that feeling to stay with it and build. And if there's nothing more to add to it, then something different will come naturally. You don't have to go searching for it. So staying, yes. But you've got to be doing that in your soul at the same time. You're speaking to your recipient with the previous information, and then that stops your own mind coming in and doing it or adding to it with your own mind and self, association.
I love that you say that. I agree. I will not pull for me. It's like, okay, I'm not going to pull. If it didn't come in, I'm sorry. This is where I sit with it. And then I say, I can't pull anymore from it because I know I'm not getting it from spirit. For me, so I love that you say that. Great question, Aiden. He's one to look for, Paul. He's an amazing spiritualist medium.
Maybe I'll pass across someday.
Yeah, he's out in the Journey Within, works out that way, but he's from Texas, boy. He'll love him. The Soul's Voice, love that, Kevin says. Kevin says he trained with you at Arthur Findlay. I love Kevin. He's also from Canada. Canada is in the house. I love that. Let's see here. Melinda says, how do you handle it when you come across people who don't believe in God?
Ooh. I feel sorry for them. Okay, because if you've got God in your life, it makes a total difference. So this self-awareness and having a relationship with this power of the spirit, this divine power we call God, it makes a difference to their mediumship. Yeah, you'll find if they don't, you'll find that a lot of their work isn't mediumistic, it's more on a psychic level. And I feel sorry for people. You know, for me, if God wasn't a reality, if there wasn't something more to this physical existence, then I may as well go out onto the street and be the biggest bee under the sun, okay, and just take everything in a selfish way in the way I treat life and treat people. Having God and that reality of that eternal life and God is a reality within me, it makes a difference to how I live my life and look at life. That doesn't mean I'm a saint. Doesn't mean I don't enjoy the physical pleasures of this world. We're in a physical world, have to be part of it. But, you know, one day or later, they'll have to waken up to the facts, you know. So why not do that search, that journey now, to see if God is a reality, rather than wait until you physically die? It's to your advantage to start now. On that journey, because you're going to have to find that realization eventually.
Yeah, I love that you say that. And I think that's where you say, why wait till we get there and you can do the work now? And I being drawn back to, you know, in spirit world, I feel that we're in that world now, Paul, as we are in the progression and healing as spiritualists, as individual self, our journey within, we're constantly in the ebb and the flow of those energies. What can you say for one who wants to know what happens to when a soul passes or they're ascending?
Yeah, that's a good question. I can speak from experience. And in the beginning, the spirit world told me not to read any books. They told me they wanted to teach me through experience. And so I asked the spirit world, what was it like for my father to pass the way he did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't receive this clairvoyantly. My soul went through the experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they actually took me. My father passed in a car accident, and they took me to sitting in the car and going through the experience of the car accident. Yeah. Okay. And this is why I say, death itself is painless, because the spirit knows those moments before that what's going to happen,
and yes,
the spirit leaves the body, still attached mm-hmm. to the body, yeah,
yes,
okay? And then once the physical body dies, then the cord snaps that connects the spirit and the body, yeah,
yes.
Then I was attending my father's funeral, okay, and he was there, so the spirit do not really move on until we've said goodbyes to the physical. And I believe that's why many religions like to dispose and say goodbye to the physical body within 24 hours. Yeah. Then the next stage was, they then took me through, which was like a near-death experience, where they took me through this tunnel of lights. Yeah. And then I ended up in this mass of light, and there, as the light cleared and my senses adjusted to the light, I was in the next level of the etheric world and
yes,
stood there in front of my father. So the experience of passing and the journey from this world to the next one doesn't scare me at all.
Okay? Yeah.
I've got no fear of that. Yes, I know we all, because we're human, we have fear of the conditions of how we might go beforehand. But death itself, I remember sitting with my grandmother when she passed, and she was unconscious, and she was in her bed at home, and the room was full of family. And just beforehand, my grandfather told me she would pass at 10 o'clock, and she would be at 10 o'clock. So just before 10 o'clock, I sent everybody out of the room. And I sat there, took her hand, and I said, come on now, granddad's waiting for you. It's time for you to let go. And she opened her eyes, she smiled, took three breaths, and she went. And then a few moments later, I heard her give this mighty laugh, because she had a very mighty laugh. And I thought, she's met him, she's seen him. Yeah. And
yeah.
And afterwards, the nurses said to me, Paul, can we ask you something? And I said, yes. They said, are you a spiritualist? And I said, yes. They said, we thought so. And I said, well, what made you think so? She says, because you made everybody leave the room. And we found that when family there hanging on, pleading for them not to go, it stops the spirit moving out and moving on.
Yes.
And you made them go out the room, so there wasn't holding on, and you gave your grandmother permission to let go.
Yeah. There's so much power in letting go, of like holding space to witness that. Kevin says that's beautiful, Paul. And I could feel that joy of the smile and the laughter as you brought that story for us to hear. And I think many of us get those glimpses, as Courtney says, they do, the wait for everyone to leave. So you have people just saying how beautiful. So, you know, Paul, do you have time for one demonstration here if you're open to it?
Is there any audience or not?
Oh, we have people here that are still here. So can you see the names? We'll just see where you feel drawn to. But if anyone is open, go ahead, Paul. Or are you going to just open it up?
You could see the names then, okay.
I can. Right. Mm-hmm.
Just give me a moment here, okay. And I know very much here. I'm aware of a father from the spirit world, and as I'm aware of him, I'm not quite sure. I'm just on the tip of right at the very north of America, just going over into Canada, that part of the area, because I know the father would live to work out in the wilds, you know, where all the woods, the forests and the mountains were concerned. Would somebody understand that?
Does someone here understand a father in spirit, but the edge of Canada, right?
Could be in Canada or just at the edge of it.
In or the edge of Canada. Kendra says, wow.
Anybody?
Does anybody understand this evidence?
Type in yes if you can.
I love how quickly you went straight there.
Yeah, it only takes a breath and a thought. Nobody?
Not yet.
So it's been able to keep hold of the contact and stay quiet without keeping the power.
I know. There was someone here from Michigan earlier, Kendra says.
Just so if there's not, if no, we should have had enough time to respond to that. So just to lay me the relationship wrong, but if I'm wrong with the relationship, would understand a gentleman, and I feel it would have worked where, lived and worked where there were the forests, the trees, where they would work cutting the trees down.
So you do have Aiden.
Aiden
yeah. says, my grandfather family loved an area, I'm going to say lived in an area near Canada, not saying too much.
Okay, and would you understand the environment of the forest, the mountains, the trees?
Aiden, would you understand the trees in the area? You have two others as well. You have okay, Tilly.
Let's just go with it, okay?
Okay.
Would one of them, would the three who are understanding, would they understand the name Bill or William? Hmm.
So, and there's sometimes there's just a tad delay. So between Aiden, Lisa, William or Bill is very significant.
Out of the three, would they understand the man that they think they recognize would actually work with the wood or lumber industry?
Okay. Aiden is out. You have Lisa and Tilly. So Tilly is out as well. Grandfather was Bill. You have Lisa Davies.
That goes down to one because I know it wasn't just living in that environment. It was the work with it as well. And as I'm talking now, because I know we've got the right resources because I want to start to... I can feel it. I feel happy. I want to smile. I want to laugh. So is it her grandfather as well?
Yes, it is.
Yes, okay. And she would have known him, got memories of him.
We'll wait for her to respond to that. But immediately, grandfather was Bill. So he was a real estate agent. Oh, sorry.
No. Okay. But would you understand the great sense of humor and fun he had and the memories of that she shared with him?
Wait for her to respond. Yes, she knew him.
Yes, she knew. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can she just say yes or no to the last statement? I just smiled.
And if we may, Lisa, hear a yes or no for the last statement, please. Somewhat.
Yeah, okay. Because this is what he just wanted to do here. I know he was a man who was busy. He took care of his family, but also I know he liked his own time. Sometimes he liked own time at home, but he also liked his own time to spend with his friends in a social environment as well. Is that all correct?
She was saying both to your last question as well.
Okay, and what I've just said now?
And I'm just going to wait for her to respond.
Okay, all right. I'm not going to stay too long with you, as long as she understands that, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Now, would you understand, one of the reasons he's come to say hello, there must be situations where he wants to speak about a work situation where she's wanting to go forward in a different way with her work, but at the moment not being able to take those steps forward.
Mm. Okay. He had two families.
Does she understand that about her work?
I'm going to wait for her response. But going back to, it's just a tad delay. No, she says.
So is there something in her life that she wants to move forward with and change if it's not working in another area of her life? But she's in a way, she seems a little bit stuck in not being able to move forward with this change she wants to make.
Lisa, would you understand having difficulties or challenges in moving forward? Spiritually, yes.
Yes, okay. And I think the trouble is, if she doesn't mind me saying and not offended by it, I think she wants to jump, say, from A to D in one step into taking A, B. She wants the bigger picture all to fall into place. And she can move forward, but it's got to be slowly, a stage at a time.
Yeah.
If that makes sense to her.
Would you understand that, Lisa? Very true.
Yeah, okay. You see, and this again, what holds us back and stops us going forward? If we go back to what I said in the beginning, okay, it's very much just, you know, don't have these demands of what you're going to be next week or next year with it. You've got to take it step at a time. And I think she's looking for a bigger picture of what she's doing with her spiritual journey instead of then it's take a stage and happen time at a time. So you do A, you get to B, then you can see what your next stage has got to be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully we can then open our journey up. Okay.
Courtney says, amen. And Lisa says, makes sense.
Good. Okay. The other thing I want to say to her is she needs also look to see, don't think she can set it up in her own home or whether somebody else is, but she needs to find a home circle which they can sit on a regular basis.
Oh, that's so good. She says, thank you. Exactly.
Okay. Good. Okay. So I'll stop there.
Beautiful job. It has been an honor and a privilege, Paul, to have you hold space for the community and to share the history of your experiences. We thank you for being a guest on Transcend with Debbie.
Thank you for everybody who's joined, and let me use your time to listen to me. I hope there's been one or two words that's maybe inspired you or encouraged you or helped you in some small way.
Most definitely, it really has. And Paul, what are you offering now for those that want to follow you? Can you let people know where they can find you?
That's very difficult. I'm not very good at putting things out there. I'm very lazy. My website's terrible. There's nothing on there, really. Basically, now it's mainly, I'm mainly in England, to be honest with you. I have got a couple of international online courses, but one started. There's one left. That's only got two places left. But that is for experienced students.
Yeah, I saw that.
So through Facebook, they can see what I'm doing or going anywhere. You know.
Yeah. Paul Jacobs, y'all, this is the pioneer of mediumship. It is an honor and a privilege to have you here as a guest. So y'all take care. We send you so much love and gratitude.
Thank you.
We say goodbye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.